We caught up with our buddy Jason Strudwick earlier this afternoon. I think Struddy's a happy man because Edmonton has been very active. Like Cody Ceci.
Very active.
Cody Ceci and Tyson Berry, multi-year deals.
It's crazy.
In Edmonton. People in Toronto's heads were exploding yesterday. Like, we saw that, and it didn't work.
Edmonton's like, nah.
No,
we're
going to
make it work.
It'll work here. And then Duncan Keith is there. There's been a lot of turnover on that blue line. And you bring in Hyman. You bring in Fogle, who I like.
Derek Ryan.
You bring in Derek Ryan as an option up the middle of the ice. Like, I do think up front, they are definitely a better team.
Look at their bottom two lines. Like, we critique the Leaf bottom two lines. Look at theirs.
It's not a who's who. It's not a who's who. No, but still, Hyman's there, and he's not in Toronto. And, you know, they've kept Nugent Hopkins, and I think their four group is going to be okay. They're going to be great up top. I think during the regular season, they'll crush it. It's can they defend? That's always been the question. Can they defend? Their goaltending still scares me. That's Koskinen and Smith, for sure. But we caught up with Struddy earlier, and we began by asking Jason Strudwick of TSN Radio out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer, true friend of the show,
yep,
if he is now officially the biggest Zach Hyman super fan.
The only way it could have been better is if it would have been Mitchell Marner and Justin Bieber would have come here to Edmonton. No, you know what, Zach Hyman, he's a type of player that I really appreciate him, you know, and you know, you think back to some of those games last year when they got to see each other so much, the Leafs and the Oilers, you know, those confrontations, Hyman and Mike Smith. You know, Mike Smith is a big, scary-looking guy. He's got the Undertaker hair, and he's, you know, whatever, 6'5". He's scary. But Zach Hyman went to the net all the time. And that's an element of the game the Oilers are missing. You know, getting to the blue paint, getting in on the forecheck. And you know, Hyman has, obviously, he can play with good players. He's played, you know, with every good player there in Toronto, up and down the lineup. So it's a really nice add for the Edmonton Oilers and something they really need in that top six.
How do you think Connor McDavid woke up today feeling about this?
Well, I think he's excited, right? Like, he, you know, with all due respect to the wingers he's been playing with outside of Nugent Hopkins, a lot of them were, maybe asked to do a little bit too much. You know, Dominic Cahoon. You know, I don't think anyone believes he's a top line left winger. But he was playing there because of maybe the owner's lack of another option. So now all of a sudden you're going to, you know, I'm guessing Hyman starts with McDavid and Puljujarvi, two guys on the wings that work hard, you know, they're going to get to the blue paint, can make plays. I think Puljujarvi will continue to improve. You know, Hyman probably is where he's at, which is, you know, just fine. But it's a nice thing for him. And then, you know, if they want to change the look up, they can maybe throw Nuge up there and put Hyman down with Draisaitl, depending if they want to have a little more size with Draisaitl. So, there's lots of options, and even if you really want to, you can throw Nugent Hopkins as a third line center. Bump up Fogle, maybe Dylan Holloway comes in at some time. So, you know, that's what you have when you have real depth. You know, guys that are actual players, you can mix and match a little bit. And I think Dave Tippett is probably as happy, maybe happier than Connor McDavid.
Well, it's going to be interesting how committed they are to these guys, where Nugent Hopkins gets a long-term deal, Hyman gets one. We know McDavid and Draisaitl are locked in for an extended period of time. Those four guys up front have term, and, you know, McDavid's making 12.5, but everyone else is, I think, somewhat reasonable. I mean, the Hyman deal, I think, is expensive for sure, but you got to pay to play. And then you look at the Leafs, which we talk about all the time. Their big four up front is making, I think, you know, $12 million more than the four that are now in Edmonton long term. And they're bringing the band back here, Strudy. I don't know what your vibe is like out there, and I know there's a lot of Leaf fans in Edmonton, and I know you follow this team closely, but it's a kind of jaded fan base right now in Toronto. It's pretty cynical. It's pretty dark here. I wouldn't say yesterday was overly celebrated with the moves that Dubas and company made. What do you make about where the Leafs are at today, maybe compared to where they were 2 or 3 months ago?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, as a fan, you're excited. You know, you can think back to some of the draft picks they had, and, you know, the excitement of getting, you know, Matthews and Marner and all these guys, the development of Morgan Riley. And it's hard, though. Like, it's really hard. You know, what is that saying they say? You know, that the difference between, you know, good and great isn't that much, but it's the longest journey to take. Mm-hmm. Like, and so, you know, getting to, you know, the top half of the league is relatively easy compared to maybe going from a 10th team to a 2 team or a 1 team. And it's a lot of work, and it's small improvements. But what happens right now, and you've seen it with across so many teams, is the cap. I mean, the cap makes it hard. So you need to have youth contributing. You need young, cheap players that are on entry-level deals come in and contribute in a big way. And you know, you look around some of the teams that have had some success, they've had that. You know, you look at Montreal with the playoff run, it's Suzuki, entry-level contract, and he had a pretty big impact for them, right? So you've got to find those that youth, and you can't sacrifice the youth. So, like, Maple Leafs fans, you know, I wonder if they don't feel they're a little bit kind of neither here nor there, because the team is good, but are they that good to take the next step to the upper echelon teams? We're talking about, you know, like last year, some of those top teams. Can they make that step? I don't know if what they've done is enough. But, you know, if your hands are tied to cap, where do you go without maybe start trading players?
Yeah, that's not something that, as of now, publicly they're willing to admit they even want to do or entertain. I mean, I would think you have to be listening and willing to entertain anything. But it's got to be a blockbuster. It's got to be something massive coming in return. So I'm certainly not holding my breath. I'm assuming they're going to come back with, you know, a similar core and take another run at it. And that's essentially been it. And they're going to work around the edges, which is what they've been doing. I think they're still going to make a couple more moves. But yesterday was wild. There was a lot going on in the NHL. And a lot of money being spent. A lot of defensemen getting cash. Like Seth Jones gets $9.5 million. Dougie Hamilton gets $9 million. What do you make of the defenseman kind of taking over the offseason so far? Owen Power going first overall in the draft, and feels like the big D are finally getting their due at this point.
Well, it's long overdue, my friend. Long overdue. I love it. I love seeing it. We talk about everyone, oh, we got to score goals. And I do understand that you've got to score goals to win. But you have to be able to defend. And you look at what Montreal did with those 4D. And the abuse some of those guys gave out, those D-men like Weber and Sherratt and, you know, Edmondson and Peachy, they weren't fun to play against. So, everyone's copycatting. I know that's how kind of the league breaks down at times. But, I love seeing these big D-men get rewarded. And they take up space, and it's harder to get to the net. The little D-man just doesn't take up the same amount of space. And it's just the length of the arm, the length of his stick. Yeah, they can be really agile, but they're not quite as strong. So I'm tongue-in-cheek, but I'm really excited and happy for these guys that they're now where they're at.
Jason, what's like your favorite non-Hyman signing of yesterday?
Michael Bunting.
the next Hyman.
No, you know what? In all honesty, I really like Phil Deneau in L.A. Yeah. And, you know, they have some young players coming. You know, Quinton Byfield, and you've got, who's a Turcotte, another young center there. But what I really like about it is that, you know, between Kopitar and Deneau, they insulate those guys. I mean, how many times have we seen top teams or teams that are struggling get those top picks, and then it's like, hey, guys, just go figure it out. Just go play against the top two players in the league, and it's hard. So now if you're a Quinton Byfield or if you're a Turcotte, you know, you've got insulation. And you're gonna slowly bring him along. Like, well, let's have Byfield have a shift against McDavid. Okay, so that's pretty hard. So that's good. Let's put him back against whoever's going to be Derek Ryan if they play the Oilers, right? So you insulate him a little bit, and they grow at their own pace. And I think they'll give Rob Blake and that staff a lot of credit for identifying that. And you know, Phil Deneau is not going to get a lot of you a lot of points. But, you know, putting him in that situation, those younger players can watch him. They feel comfortable, makes the wingers all that much better. So I really like that move. You talk term, you know, Blake Coleman is a big deal and all that. The money is getting thrown around.
Money's crazy every year. Every year, Stray, it never stops.
It is. But we can debate the merits of whether he should have got that much deal or not. But I really like that for if I'm a young player and what I get to see and how I'm feeling around those guys. Because I know that I don't have to do the hard stuff every night. Even though I think I can, I shouldn't do it right away in my first year or first couple of years.
Do you know what will be the most depressing presser maybe in league history is if Jack Eichel is still in Buffalo for the first day of camp. And I kind of want to see it happen just to see how he's going to react, because everyone else is leaving. They're committed to being terrible. Him and Phil Kessel in Arizona. Phil will be hilarious day one of camp, because Arizona is trying to be the worst team maybe in the history of hockey. And Phil's just going to mosey on in there and play 82 and score 25 and work on his handicap. But those would be great day one pressers. and they I want to see them.
You know what? You're right. And it's hard because it's clear what they're doing. Arizona is just going to, you know, just pick up bad contracts, pick up, you know, picks and players to try to rebuild. And I mean, they were left with a pretty bad situation. Armstrong was. But you know who the guy I feel really bad for of both those teams, Buffalo and Arizona, is Jacob Chychrun. You know, I think he's a really underappreciated D-man. Yeah. And again, I come back to the D-man again. But, you know, I think he's a really good D-man. He signed there. He committed to that team. And now you're looking around, and he's going to get to play a ton. Like, he is going to, you know, he's like Roberto Luongo when he started out with Florida, getting, a, you know, 1,000 shots a night because they can't put noodles in, right? Because they know they don't want to lose. So, you know, they've got all these... This young guy, like, if you're Jacob Chychrun and I'm sitting right now wherever he hangs out, is this really where I want to be? Like, you know, how long is it till that team turns it around? I like their first pick this year, Dylan Gunther, really good player here from the Western League, and they'll have some other good ones, but is it 2, 3, 4 years? Like, how much pain do I have to take during this? And losing is, it's not fun. I've been on losing teams. But to be honest, I wasn't Jacob Chychrun. I wasn't, you know, expected to be a top player, and he is. And you're just going every night. Like, I think that's when people really, a guy's really looking over. Phil Kessel's got his cups, he's got his money. Jacob Chychrun, what is he? I mean, he's got money, but he wants to win too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's someone that we should really keep an eye on. And wonder how his attitude evolves with this whole thing. Not suggesting he has a bad one, but I mean, good God, man, give the kid a chance.
It's a battle for sure. Yeah, no, that's a good point, Strutty. Well, we'll see what happens, man. The dust is still settling throughout the NHL. There's still some guys out there, some decent names as well available via trade or free agency. So there'll be a lot more activity, and enjoy the rest of the summer. We'll do it again soon. We always appreciate you taking time for us.
See you guys. Go Argos.
Go Argos, says Jason Strudwick. The Elks. Are you ready for the Eskimo Elks existence? Are you ready for that, Jonas? Is that going to show up in any of your articles on theathletic.com? Or?
Man, I'm still trying to like get over free agency. That was something. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it was just a whirlwind. I know we talked a little bit about it earlier, but just like so many teams have changed in ways that I haven't even contemplated. Actually, that reminds me of something I wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if the NHL ever gets to a point, like we were talking about Aaron Rodgers with Trey Wingo, if like NHL superstars want to be consulted on trades or on personnel? Can you imagine?
Well, I think it's come up in some areas in terms of like a coaching change, but I don't know if it ever got to that point where the GM and owners actually did that. But what, like, we had Burke on last year. We had Brian Burke on last hour.
Yeah.
Why would Sidney Crosby not be consulted on a coaching change?
For sure a coaching change.
Right?
But what about, like, personnel players? Like, imagine if Austin Matthews said to the front office, he's like, I'd really like it if Freddie stuck around.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did. I wouldn't. I'd almost be surprised if he didn't.
You think?
Well, why would you not try to canvas your players, your leaders, and find out, okay, what's going on in the room? How do we... Now, you have to evaluate based on his physical status, his play, but whether or not you think a guy is really important in the room or not, probably something worthy of asking. Doesn't mean you have to accept the advice or to adhere to the advice.
That's sticky, man. Like, you ask, and then you're like, yeah, we heard you. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't put yourself in that position, especially if you've already come up with the answer.
Yeah.
If you know you're moving on from Freddie, why go to Matthews and ask him a question? You know Matthews is going to say, I want him around. He likes him. He's his friend. You know.
Yeah.
He's not going to sewer the guy. I wouldn't expect that he would. Yeah, I just don't think it's possible with personnel decisions. And I think it's tough. You know, we talked about it with Rodgers, comparing it to the NBA. The NBA, the superstars say, go get me another superstar.
Yeah.
They don't say, you know, go and tinker with the bench or go and do this. It's just not conducive to that. The NFL, you can't have Aaron Rodgers saying, well, that guy's my friend, so I want him sticking around. It's like, look at his production. He can't play. He listed guys off yesterday and a couple of big names. Randall Cobb, who is back. Randall Cobb has not performed for years in the NFL. But he's back because Aaron Rodgers is his buddy. Now, maybe he finds another spark. Maybe he brings something to the table. He had some great years there. Great years there. When they won that Super Bowl, it was him and Nelson. You know, those were the two options for the most part. But that's a long time ago. That's a decade ago. What's next? Jordy Nelson's coming back?
I was just thinking that, yeah.
You know? Like, well, Jordy Nelson can't play anymore.
And that's the dangerous thing. It's like, these guys may be great players. Like, we've seen it with LeBron sometimes, where they bring in a guy who's, like, from his past, like J.R. Smith a million times. And sometimes, like, those guys just aren't any good anymore. And
at some point, it ends.
They know.
Yep. That's right. At some point, it just comes to an end. Donald Driver also being an option as the grappler.
Donald Driver.
Yes, of course, 10 years ago.
Who's the
Driver,
tight end?
Nelson. Who was the tight end in 2011 when they
won?
Yeah,
I was trying to think of who
that
was.
I don't think it was James Jones. I think he was there after that. I can't remember now. It might have been Jones. But anyway, we'll see what happens with NHL players seeking more power. I think it's coming in some capacity.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know exactly what that's going to look like.
Well, this Jack Eichel thing is like kind of the start of that creeping in. Maybe.
Yeah, but
maybe
Buffalo's
that's not fair.
So bad.
Yeah, like, I don't blame him.
They're such a mess.
We've never seen this before, really.
Yeah.
Have we?
Level. Maybe not. Yeah, we've seen players like demand out or want out or like he hasn't even publicly said he wants out. Like he hasn't blasted the team.
No, that well. I mean, that press conference at the end of the year, he said everything but that, didn't he?
Close to it. He wants out. Like, everyone knows he wants out, but it hasn't been as blunt, you know, as even as Rodgers, where Rodgers was somewhat passive-aggressive, but never said he definitely wants to come back.